Session 177, August 11, 1965, The Early Sessions, Volume 4 of the Seth Material. Seth: Good evening. Rob: Good evening, Seth. Seth: And welcome to our friends. I'm always glad to see our Jesuit. And we shall certainly discuss the God concept for him tonight or during another session. I am particularly concerned, however, with carrying our discussion further concerning dream realities. R. Rupert did indeed steal from me a few paragraphs in his book that were not rightfully his, in one manner of speaking. In a brief communication one afternoon, I explained to him the similarity between multiple personalities and the various aspects of the personality as it appeared in the dreaming and trance states. I did not have occasion to bring this up in our sessions, and he very nicely whipped it and picked it from my palm. He did a very good job of explaining my idea, for which I am grateful. Rob, this occurred last Monday afternoon, August 9. Jane happened to need this bit of information for a chapter in her book, and so used it when Seth made it known. She said Seth might have mentioned it during Monday's session, had he not denoted the session to be the material on my Aunt Ella. Seth: Nevertheless, it is known that cases of legitimate multiple personality exist. Here we have several personalities, all operating within oneself, each unaware of the other, and each going his own separate way. The primary ego is equally unaware of the other personalities, who very often are actually struggling for dominancy. Now, with this in mind, consider once more the various aspects of the self in the waking and dream states. The conscious I is unaware of the I who dreams. Indeed, the dreaming I seems more familiar with the waking self upon many occasions. Here you have excellent examples that correspond to your dual or multiple personality thesis. It should be obvious that there is nothing strange in the fact that the dreaming self and the waking self appear so unfamiliar to each other. The study of hypnotism will greatly enlarge man's understanding of human personality in general. These separate states of consciousness, these multiple levels of awareness, these seemingly unrelated personality aspects are not unnatural artificial productions brought about through hypnosis. Hypnotism is merely a method that allows you to study the personality directly. Its nature becomes known, for the personality, again, is not an object, nor is it an unchanging unit. You have been studying it in the past in a very superficial manner. It should be remembered, however, that hypnotism is also an action, and as such, hypnotism will change the personality to some extent, as all action changes and affects other actions. Now, these effects, these various seemingly separate selves that can be demonstrated through hypnosis, operate continually and quite normally in both the waking and the dream states. There is, however, a cooperation that exists between these seemingly separate states of the self. It goes without saying that some overall direction must be and is maintained. I am grateful to your psychologist's idea concerning multiple personalities, since they represent excellent analogies. Rob: There was a knock at the door. At 9:16, Jane stopped speaking, but as in the 172nd session, when she was also interrupted, she gave no signs of shock or even discomfort. In a few seconds, she was out of her trance. Our visitors were a young couple from next door, stopping briefly before continuing on other errands. They did not know about the sessions. After their departure, we agreed that our friends probably sensed that something unusual was going on. We did not ask them to stay, and as Bill Gallagher pointed out, they probably heard the deep Seth voice while in the hall outside our door. Upon admittance, they saw no one with which to identify such a voice. Also, although the room was well lighted, the shades were closed, a practice Jane and I do not indulge in otherwise. Jane said she heard the knock itself and was aware of what it meant. As long as an interruption had occurred, she decided to take our first break. Her eyes had remained closed during the delivery, and she had remained seated. She had been dissociated as usual. Jane resumed in the same deep voice, which now was quite amused, and at a faster pace at 9:35. Seth, I am always tempted to, when I meet your friends and acquaintances, to delve somewhat into their backgrounds. However, I shall in this instance restrain myself, so that we may continue with our previous discussion. I cannot stress too strongly the fact that any investigation into the nature of the human personality must indeed follow the lines which have been here given. The nature of reality, uncamouflaged, can be glimpsed to some degree as you study the personality in the dream state, where awareness does not operate in an ego-directed manner. Again, the nature of space and time is glimpsed more clearly as it appears to the sleeping self. For in the dream state, reality is to a large measure uncamouflaged, and the personality appears in a freer state. It should also be borne in mind that all aspects of the personality are part of the whole self. As such, there is an overall communication between the various aspects of the self, although the separate aspects of the self may not be aware of the combinations. We have seen, therefore, that suggestions may be given by the waking personality to the sleeping personality, and these directions will be followed. They will be followed, however, by the sleeping self in its own fashion and according to its own understanding. The solutions asked for may not appear to the conscious self in the fashion that it expects. The conscious self may not even recognize that it has been given a particular solution, yet it may act upon the solution. Bob notes Jane's voice hit a louder and stronger note briefly. Again, she was much amused. She sat opposite Bill Gallagher. Now, her eyes still closed, she hiked her chair closer, then pointed at him. Seth, our Jesuit with the ulcer, shall I say our ulcerated Jesuit, may derive some benefit in reading a few of our immediately previous sessions in which we spoke of dream therapy. In such a case, it is not necessary that the conscious self recall the dreams which it requests. In many cases, in fact, it is to the ego's advantage that it remain unaware of the actual dreams involved, for the ego is indeed touchy, rigid, and querulous, as an old arthritic gentleman and cranky. Dream therapy will be discussed in many of our sessions, and definite directions will be given, whereby the waking self can, to a large extent, ensure the help of the physical organism. The various aspects of the self communicate with each other, when they do, in a very sly fashion, for no such communication is direct. They are like relatives who do not speak to each other, yet each one knows what goes on in the other's household. The inner ego directs all activities which are deeply subjective. The outer ego, as you know, deals with the manipulation of the self in the physical environment. You must remember that the whole self is more than the sum of its parts, and also, since it is action, it is never the same. It is therefore impossible at any moment to pinpoint the personality. Therefore, the whole self is not only the sum of the personality as you know it in your time, it is also the sum of what it has been and what it shall be. For as I have explained, action is simultaneous, and time, as you think of it, is caused by your own physical perception. Therefore, in the dream state, communication is possible between all portions of the self. The personality appears in its truest state if it seems, in dreams, that you are free of space and time. It is indeed because the basic self is free of space and time. If you appear to hear voices out of the past, if you seem to see into the future, it is because the dream state is a more or less faithful approximation of a basic reality in which your time and space simply do not exist. We will be dealing rather extensively with the study of space and distance and time as they appear within the dream state. and with the freedoms that are possible for the personality within it. All of this information can be used most beneficially. It will enable the ego itself to expand its consciousness and its knowledge. I will give you directions which will allow you to study the appearance of space and time within your dreams. You will be one self-dreaming, while another spying self takes notes. I will now give you both a break from taking your notes, and we will then continue. Rob Notes Break at 9:58. Jane was dissociated as usual. Her voice had been on the deeper side, with the brogue apparent at times. Her eyes had remained closed. She had remained seated. We discussed with the Gallaghers the material given on dream therapy in sessions 172 through 174. Bill Gallagher also wondered about using suggestion even in working out problems connected with a hobby. His hobby is rope work, and at times the designs he uses are quite complicated. Jane resumed in the same manner, her voice rather strong at 10:10. Again, Seth was quite amused. Seth, there are some very simple suggestions that I can give our confused Jesuit that may be of some help. These are tricks known to both Joseph and Rupert, but quite beneficial for all of that. You may give directions to your subconscious when you are in your normal waking state, and it will follow them. You may, for example, suggest before sleeping that the next day, while you are involved in your working situation, the subconscious will be involved in working out designs for you for your own projects. This will give you the satisfaction of making the time twice as valuable. You can indeed suggest to the subconscious that it carry on in such a manner regardless of your conscious concern. As a result, the ego can apply itself to the job at hand while the subconscious works for you and your inner purposes. This is very practical and works without much difficulty. You may give any such suggestions and they will be followed. Do not, however, strain yourself trying to figure out whether or not the suggestions are being followed. Give them, then turn your attention to other matters. You may obviously also direct your subconscious to react only to constructive suggestions from any source. This is, in fact, an excellent habit to cultivate. There are many ways in which you can use these tricks to your advantage. I do not exaggerate when I tell you that one simple psychic manipulation can save you much difficulty. It sounds more difficult, however, than it is. Rob Notes grinning. Jane pointed to Bill Gallagher. Her eyes were still closed, her voice a bit deep, her pace fast. Seth, you can learn, even a Jesuit can learn, to change the focus of your attention within seconds. Practice is all that is required, but the practice itself will show results. When you fear any difficulty with your particular physical problems, you can immediately turn your awareness away. This is no Pollyanna gibberish. As soon as your focus of awareness is switched, the physical symptoms will vanish. It requires a knack, but it is simpler than it sounds, and you can master it. This only requires that you give suggestions to your subconscious. Tell it that it knows how to perform this manipulation, and suggest that it do so the next time you are in difficulty. I here will suggest a brief break, and I will continue for a short time. Rob notes, now, I saw that Jane's eyes had opened. She looked around at us all as she spoke, smiling. Her eyes were quite dark, without highlights, almost as though glazed. Seth, I am very glad that we are here together. And if I cannot be merry, it is only because when I am merry, I speak too loudly, and I embarrass my hosts. Rob, break at 10:23. Jane was dissociated as usual. She knew when her eyes opened, she said. As she looked around at us, she felt that she saw us once removed, or as through a sheet of glass. To come out of the trance, she blinked and squeezed her eyes shut several times. Her voice had maintained its deeper than usual state. Jane resumed with her eyes closed and in the same deeper voice at 10:31. Seth, we will indeed begin a program of sorts. We will initiate a thorough study of the God concept, which will be begun the next time these friends are present, and will continue when they visit us at other sessions. That is, whenever they attend a session for a while, we will concern ourselves with the God concept and all of its implications. There is some material that has already been given, and our friends should read it as a preliminary to our own study. We will therefore be concerned with the pyramid gestalts of which I have spoken, and it will be to our advantage to have this as a unit. Rob notes, Seth has actually dealt with the God concept fairly often. This would involve such related matters as the soul, energy transformation, cycles on our plane, spirituality, the source of the source, the crucifixion, beginning and endings, prayer and the will to be, etc. Among others, see the following sessions, 3, 24, 27, 31, 51, 62, 66, 81, 95, 96, 97, 115, 135, 146, 147, 149, 145, 151. Seth, I may suggest, therefore, Joseph, that for convenience sake, the next such session simply be labeled, quote, A, along with your usual designation, the next B, and so forth. For your records, this will allow you to refer to those sessions in a simplified manner. It is natural, then, that such a study will involve us in many allied matters. I may say that Buddhism does indeed come closer in essence to reality than other religions. However, the Buddhists either have not gone far enough or have gone too far, according to your viewpoint. If they have gone too far, then they have been so concerned with inner reality that they have become too tolerant of physical disease and disasters. If they have not gone far enough, then they have not followed through sufficiently so that these physical disasters could truly be suffered without pain. They have the knowledge to a very large degree, but they have fallen short. It is one thing to realize that all physical matter is camouflage, and they know this. But this camouflage can be most disastrous if it is not manipulated correctly. You are in no position to ignore it. You are in a position to understand it and to use it. It is all very well for monks to utilize astral projection. It is all very well for them to skitter through space as if they were on pogo sticks. Their knowledge is fundamental and good. The fact remains that millions of human beings who follow and practice Buddhism are told, as many religions tell their followers, better worlds are to come, so ignore this agony and this hunger and this pain and the murder in the streets. Be in ecstasy while your belly bloats. This is not human, and it is far less than godly. There is a unity, and there is a joy, and there is an exaltation in all aspects of life and consciousness. It is not to any religion's benefit that people starve. There is nothing wrong with using spiritual knowledge in practical matters. Fulfillment, value fulfillment, implies fulfillment in all abilities and all potentials, including quite physical potentials. The pyramid gestalts of which I have spoken have experiences far beyond those of any human being. Yet they are concerned with the least, with the existence of the least among you. The fullest potentialities that cannot be developed unless the physical aspects are also developed. Your job is to manipulate, as well as you can within the physical universe, and to develop within it religious leaders of any denomination. Any leaders who restrict development along one level for the sake of development along other levels betray their followers. I could indeed continue this discussion and wear you all out. However, I will now let you take a break, or Joseph, if he prefers, may end our session. Rob. Well ended, then. Good night, Seth. End at 10:50. Jane was dissociated as usual. Her eyes had remained closed. Her voice had been good. Her pace fast. Jane, the Gallaghers, and I were discussing the session and related subjects when Seth came through again at 11 o'clock. All of us were in very good humor, including Seth. The session, as it continued, reflected this, and a rapid-fire exchange resulted in which Jane was in and out of trance at the wink of an eye, so to speak. She manifested this same ability during the 169th session, held in Dr. Instream's office in Oswego, New York, but I would say that her switching back and forth this evening was more rapid. She said later that it was no effort at all. Jane began speaking again, with her eyes closed, but they opened at times during the exchange, as they had in the last session, the 176th. Jane has resumed often lately, after formally ending a session, as in the 169th, 170th, and 176th. Seth began by stating that he liked to sit in with us only as an interested participant, without bothering about notes, etc. Jane, he said, could use the practice of switching focus, and we did have the effect of a conversation among five people instead of four. There follow a few quotes from Seth as I noted them down, with some hints from Bill, Peggy, and myself. Seth, Rupert can use this practice. You see now, we are using a very speedy change of focus. This ability can serve us in the future to our advantage. Rob notes, 11:01, Jane was out of her trance. She grinned and waved at us. The conversation revolved around our use of slang and our speculations as to the source of Seth's knowledge. Rupert has always been a doubting Thomas, and now I meet a doubting Jesuit. I have known several doubting Jesuits, but it would take me several hours to tell you about them. I have the time, however. Rob notes, 11:02, Jane was out of trance again, then went back in at 11:03. Seth, no one has to watch their conversation with me. I am capable of dealing with all aspects of reality, even cloudy ones on your plane. Rob notes, Seth continued after we all sat silently for a moment. Seth, I come and everyone is silent. I had hoped for a quiet chat. Instead, I meet with restraint and deadly silence. Rob notes, Bill Gallagher had something to say, by way of analogy, about Socrates and the city street cleaners. Seth, I am convinced, young man, that you planned these remarks. They are so good. I know they are not planned, however. You are very flattering. I must therefore consider the reasons, but I have always been this way, more or less. Bill, you have the knowledge, and I'm trying to get the knowledge. Seth, I am older. Bill, sometimes I think I'm the older one, the way I feel. Seth, you have been around, but there Joseph sits. He too has been around. I could tell you much about Joseph and Denmark, but I would not divulge the circumstances in which he was so unfortunately involved. Rob notes, Seth had more to say about my life in Denmark in the 1600s, although nothing factual or involving dates, etc. The sum total of it was far from flattering to me. Jane was out of her trance again at 11:05. She remembered some of the material. Seth resumed again at 11:10, again in a jocular fashion, after we had been discussing his definition of action, among other things. Seth, I enjoy the emotional rapport among us here. Our discussions are indeed action. Action changes me and everyone in this room. I am no exception, even though I am here in a less conventional form. Actions change us all. We must change. I enjoy the actions. I also enjoy the buildup of your ideas. I am sincerely interested in all of your ideas so that I can correct them. But this does not mean we cannot have an informal atmosphere. Rob notes, Jane smiling was out of her trance again at 11:11. She went back into it within a couple of minutes to wind up the session. Seth, I will now, since I too know your conception of time, leave. As always, since you are my friends, I regret leaving. There is much you do not understand about relationships, which will explain these informal gatherings. I am not completed or finished or fulfilled any more than you are. We shall, on some occasion, have an entirely informal evening. I shall be gentle about any connections I may make. Rob notes, and at 11:14, Jane's eyes had been closed and she ended upon a note of humor. Her manner had been pleasant and animated throughout. Her eyes had been open at times and very dark. At times she had switched in and out of the trance state very rapidly, more rapidly than indicated here. It had been no trouble for her. This experience reminded me that Jane might try a little experiment of her own the next time such an occasion arose for informal exchange. It was simply that it should be possible for Jane herself to ask Seth questions, then go into trance to answer them. She agreed that it should work, especially if she was capable, as Seth, of carrying on a conversation with three other people almost simultaneously. During this informal exchange, Jane had been dissociated as usual. She now has participated in three such informal exchanges during the 169th, the 170th, and the 177th. During tonight's exchange, her voice had not been as deep as during the regular session preceding it. She had, however, spoken quite rapidly.